And we had gotten up to, I guess, three lines before the bottom of Samach Tesmid Bey, 69b. What happened on page 69 is the Gemara had gotten into the discussion of the view of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that if a thief stole an object, then not only can the thief not make it kadosh because it doesn't belong to him, but the original owner can't make it kadosh, because since a thief is controlling his object is eino birshuso. His object is not in his control, not in his domain. It's in someone else's domain. And that reduces his amount of ownership, and therefore he cannot make it kadosh. Gemara said it's very problematic, because we know that Rabbi Yochanan has a rule that he paskins like a Stam Mishnah. Another rule of Rabbi Yochanan is that he paskins like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And we have a Mishnah where Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, or maybe it's the Stam Mishnah, state that the Tznuin, the Tzadikim, they used to consecrate things when they were out of their control in the hands of thieves. They would put money aside and say, whatever grapes the thieves take, after they take the grapes, the holiness is going to leave the grapes and go on to money. So how can they impact grapes that are in the hands of thieves? That's against Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Tznuin. So the Gemara said, well, you'll have to say that Rabbi Yochanan reinterprets what Tznuin said. Not that the Tznuin said what's in the hands of the thieves goes out of the holiness goes out of those grapes and onto coins. Rather, that the Tznuin, the Tzaddik, would make a declaration in the morning, grapes in our field, their sanctity is going on to coins. Which grapes? The grapes that later the thieves are going to pick. So basically, the Tznuin are following the view of Breira, that Yesh Breira. How could you say that? We know that Rabbi Yochanan said elsewhere that the Tznuin are following the view of Rabbi Dosa. We know that Rabbi Dosa says that a farmer, at the end of the day, says whatever excess leket, shikcha, and peah were taken by the poor is hefker. So you see that Rabbi Dosa believes you can impact that which is eno birshuso, that which is not in his control, which the thieves already have control over. You have to change Rabbi Dosa too. Rabbi Dosa didn't say whatever is in the hands of the poor that they took in excess can become hefker, but also in the morning the farmer would make a declaration, whatever will be taken by the poor from now already is hefker. So what is it that's becoming hefker? That which we'll find out later that the poor take. That's what the Gemara had said till now. So now the Gemara says, very bottom here,
Rabbi,
three lines in the bottom.
Hefker. Do you get the mitzvah for it? If the poor people come and take it? You want the mitzvah for it, no?
No, that's right. You wouldn't have a mitzvah if it's hefker, that's right.
So then why did they make it hefker? To prevent the poor people.
Well, he wants to prevent the poor. Wants to prevent the poor from having the naveira of theft.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's a mitzvah.
That's also a mitzvah, but not exactly leket, right? So Amar Ravina, Ravina said, three lines from the bottom. He loved Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tznuin Rabbi Dos Amar Davar Echad. If not for the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said that the Tznuin and Rabbi Dos were following the same opinion, so that's what causes us to have to get into all sorts of twists to figure out what the Rabbi Dos really meant. I would have thought to say something else. I would say like this. The Tznuin say that when thieves pick Kerem Ravai illicitly, so the thieves took the Kerem Ravai, they weren't allowed to. And the Tznuin say that the Kerem Ravai, the grapes in the hands of the thieves, their sanctity can be removed and put onto coins. How could the Tznuin say that? I'll tell you why. Man Tana Tznuin, Rabbi Dosi, the Tana who the Tznuin are following, that's Rabbi Dosa. And I wouldn't say that Tznuin is some Tana and Rabbi Dosa is another Tana. I would say it is Rabbi Dosa. Why would I say that? Ki echad lo tiksha stam mishnah Rabbi Yochanan. To answer the original question, I would have said, we know Rabbi Yochanan always says Allah is like a stam mishnah. But here Rabbi Yochanan is turning around and telling us that when a thief has something of mine, I can't make it kadosh. According to the Stam Mishnah of Tznuin, even though the thieves have the grapes, the tznuin can deconsecrate them. So that's a contradiction. You say halacha is like a stam mishnah, halacha is like tznuin, but you just said halacha is that a thief who holds something is preventing the original owner from consecrating or deconsecrating. So what would I have answered? No, tznuin is not a stam mishnah. Tznuin is just the opinion of Rabbi Dosa. It's a minority view. Rabbi Yochanan kistam mishnah yichida lo amar. Rabbi Yochanan never said that when you have a stam mishnah, which is a minority view, that halacha is like it. When did Rabbi Yochanan say halacha is like a stam mishnah which is the majority view? But a stam mishnah which is a minority view, Rabbi Yochanan never said halacha is like that stam mishnah. So that would have resolved Rabbi Yochanan. I would have said that. But in fact, Rabbi Yochanan himself said that the tznuin is an opinion, and Rabbi Dosa is a different opinion. And these two opinions conform with each other, precluded me from giving that answer.
Rabbi, how do you know if the stam mishnah is a majority or a minority?
You have to look at other sources, right, and see, do you find that opinion elsewhere? And is it a minority or a majority opinion? So here you could have said, we found the opinion elsewhere, and it's Rabbi Dosa. But Rabbi Yochanan told us, don't interpret all the data that way. No, it's Rabbi Dosa says one thing, and Tznuin say the same. They both agree to the same thing, but not that Tznuin is Rabbi Dosa's view. So now we have to rearrange what Rabbi Dosa said and what Tznuin said to make it fit with what Rabbi Yochanan said.
The object is still belong to him because it's not Mikyash.
Correct.
I mean with Rabbi Yochanan.
No, it belongs to him, but he can't make it Kadosh.
But he doesn't have it.
It's partially not his. Partially not his.
You can say, okay, if you're not going to get it back, you have to put the mean. You can be Magdish. You know that it's for 500 shekel. And if you're not going to find it, you are owed to get a Midash $500. You have to go to buy another cow, another.
But that's not the way it works. If it's not his, he can't make it Kadosh. It's not in his control. He can't make it Kadosh. So now today's daf is going to deal with all sorts of issues of evidence and standing in courts. So, you know, in halacha, just because somebody is a fighter and a screamer and a histrionic lawyer doesn't mean that the court's going to let him in to do his ruckus. The halacha is that halacha doesn't really have a role for lawyers. In a halachic court system, Yaakov says that Reuven has his money, so Yaakov should talk to Reuven. Yaakov's going to hire Shimon, who's a screamer and knows laws and going to make a ruckus. Reuven can tell Shimon, Lav bal dvarim didiyat, I don't have anything to do with you. I don't owe you money. I don't need to talk to you. You have no standing to get involved. You're not my event. You don't own this money. You've got a claim for him. Let him come. I don't need to talk to you. So, no, we don't. That's something different. It's a shliach. You can give him money and he can create a chalos for you. He can represent you. But you don't have a representative to come into court, to make a claim in court. So the way to get a custodian is different. Custodian, that's correct. Custodian you have, that you have apotropos. So this Gemara is going to talk about what happens when a guy is dealing with someone, and the guy he's dealing with is very difficult. Right? I gave somebody an object of mine to watch, and I find it impossible to get the object back. It's impossible to negotiate with him. So I want to have somebody else who's a tougher guy negotiate. But anytime I send a tougher guy, he says, "Lav bal dvarim didiyat. I don't have to talk to you. I don't owe you money. No one ever claimed I owed you money. Get out of here." So how do I get that other person involved? So the way for me to get a lawyer into the picture is through something called a harsha'a, to sign a contract in which I actually convey ownership of that item that I'm trying to get from the hands of the watchman to this representative, to this lawyer. So now, we just had a whole discussion about conveying ownership when you don't have control over something. So the question is, well, how do you do that? How do you convey ownership when you don't have control over the object because it's in the hands of the watchman? According to Rabbi Yochanan, how would you be able to convey ownership? So Amri Naharda, the sages of Naharda said, Lo katvinan urchata amitaltli. You can't write, or we wouldn't write, this document, the Harsha document, to give ownership to a lawyer to enable him to make a claim against a watchman if what the watchman is watching is movables. Because the movables are in the hands of the watchman. They're not in the hands of me, the one who wants to give ownership. So I don't have control over them. So even though they're my movables, if I don't have control, the same way I can't make it hefker, the same way I can't make it hekdesh, I can't give it away as a matana, I can't make a kinyan in it, I can't make it partially owned or owned partially to the lawyer. Amar Rav Ashi la Meimar. So Rav Ashi said to Meimar, my time, what's the reason of the sages of Nahardah? Amar Le, Meimar answered Rav Ashi, Mishum de Rabbi Yochanan. It's because of the whole discussion that we've had now for a day and a half. The view of Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan taught us, Gazav Olonis Yashu Abaylim, if somebody stole and the owners haven't despaired, even so, Shnei Mein Michom Lahaktish, neither of them can consecrate the object anymore. Zelef Yishenu Shalo, the victim can't consecrate, I'm sorry, the thief can't consecrate it because it doesn't belong to him. It's not his, so the Ganav can't make it Kadosh. Vizeh, and the victim can't consecrate it, even though it's his, because he hasn't despaired, lefi she'eino bershuso, because it's not in his control. It's in the control of somebody else. So the same thing here. When someone is, I appointed someone to watch my stuff, and now I can't deal with that guy. He's a very difficult guy. So I want to have a tough guy to come in and deal with him. I can't empower a tough guy, because he can say to the tough guy, what am I going to try to do? Write a document, a contract where the tough guy can show and say, see, it says in this contract that Zev gave me this property, Zev made me an owner of the property, I'm trying to get my own property, so I am a Baldvarim Didach, I am someone who has standing. You can say, sorry, once it was in my hands, Zev can't do anything to it, Zev can't give it to you. So since he never gave it to you, you have no standing to get involved. Ika da Amri, another version. Amri Nahardai, the sages of Nahardah said, Lo kasvinan urchata metatli de kafri. We would not write a contract to convey ownership to property that a watchman has in order to enable the person whom the contract is written for, to enable the lawyer to get involved, if the watchman is denying that he has the objects. It's time of the kafri, only if he's denying that he has them. Then the mechzik kashikra, because if we would write such a contract, if we signed it, it looks like we're signing on a falsehood. Avalo kafri, but if the watchman's not denying that he has it, then the Nahardai said, kasvina, and you could write the contract. Because again, it's not the same thing as a thief. It's not the same thing as a thief, right? He's a watchman. He's a watchman, and he's admitting that he has my stuff. So maybe that's not called Eino Birshusa. So therefore, the contract could take effect. He just doesn't want to deal with that guy. He wants to deal with me. Okay, so I gave that guy ownership of the stuff, so now he has to deal with that guy.
But when he gave him as a watchman, he didn't give him ownership.
Right. Right, he's just watching it. That's
but Rabbi, if the guy is a mute, and he cannot talk, cannot have a representative talk for him.
Well, maybe not, but also we're talking about writing a contract here. Right? A mute guy can write also, presumably, unless he can't.
Then he couldn't. This guy really, now the second guy who's acting as a lawyer, he could take the object and hold it for himself. He already has...
Well, the court would appoint custodians to get involved and things like that. Rami Nahardai, the sages of Nahardai, said another law about empowering people. Urchita, a document of harsha'a, a document that empowers a lawyer. Delok siv bezil dun v'zachi, v'apik l'nafshach, if it doesn't say in that contract, go, litigate, acquire, and take out for yourself, take that object and you'll keep it, lespa m'shasha. There's no standing to such a contract if it doesn't have that exact line. My time a why? Mishum da amar lei heyach, because the watchman will tell the lawyer, lav bal dvarim didiat, you're not the person with the complaint against me. You have no fight with me. You have no right to fight with me. I have nothing to do with you. But if he has a contract which says, see, it says here, Zev said, I should go, I should fight with you, Yaakov, I should prove it, I should take the money and I can keep the money. He has a stake. He has a right to get involved. Amar Abaye Abaye said, "Ikas beilu metzul shlishul revia." If the harsha, if the document of empowering the lawyer says that the lawyer should come and fight with the watchman, and he should take out the object, and he'll get to keep a third of the object, or a quarter of the object, or half of the object, then he also can. That also is fine. Since, in terms of half of the object, the watchman can't claim you don't have nothing to do with me, because half he does. So once he's making a court case about half, the court will listen to the case about the rest of it too.
So wait, said,
what, what happens if the watchman, somebody steals from him, or he sells it, or, you know, the item disappears for whatever reason? So is he responsible to pay?
If he was a paid,
like,
well,
he becomes a thief all of a sudden.
It depends, right? If he swore falsely, he would become a thief. He would have to pay double. If he was a paid watchman, he'd have to pay right away, even without swearing. Just once, though, right? But it depends on the laws of watchmen, the different types of watchmen.
Rabbi, the lawyer has to become a partner in this...
in the claim.
In the claim. He can't get a compensation.
He has to be a partner. Otherwise, the other party says, I'm sorry, you're a very bright guy and a tough guy, but I don't need to deal with you. You have nothing to do with me. I deal with the people I deal with. Correct. No, that's not a... It's not. It's just the word since. Since he's involved in part. No, the migu that we normally learn about is a claim of why he's credible. That's not what's going on here.
But that he can get a percentage of ownership without doing a kinyan.
Right, it's a contract. That's right. So Amar said, if the contract says that the lawyer is to fight with the watchman, whatever he takes he's supposed to keep, itafas, if he now holds on to it, and he doesn't want to give it back to me, to Zev, lo mafkinamine. Courts would not take it from him to give to Zev, because the contract said that he can hold on to it. Rav Ashi said, no. It's true that the contract says that he can fight with Reuven, and he should fight with Reuven, and what he takes from Reuven, he keeps. But Kevin the Kasfale, but it also says in the contract, called Misani Mindina Kabilisalai, whatever pain you're going to get from this court case, I accept on myself. Part of the normal standard text is, and whatever expenses that you have, I'll pay. So if I, Zev, am saying that I'm going to pay, that means I'm not giving away the object to the lawyer, because why would I pay the lawyer for his expenses if he's going to keep the object? So really, Shliach Shavya, really it's a way in which I can have the lawyer be my representative. How can I have him be my representative? The person who is holding the object says, I don't have to deal with you. So I make him my representative by, in a certain way, giving him an acquisition over the object. But really, he's my representative, so if he gets the object out, he can't hold on to it. He has to give it back to me. Ikadam, or others say that the fact that I write in the contract that I cover the expenses doesn't mean that I made him my representative. It means shutva shavya. I made him my partner. My nafkamina, what's the difference whether I made him my partner or I made him my representative? The mitzvah's palga. Can he hold on to half of it? If we're saying I made him my partner, he could hold on to half of it. If we're saying I made him my representative, he can't hold on to any of it. Yeah, but not really. It's sort of like he's an owner in order to have standing to sue. But in the end, it comes back to me. Correct. In conclusion, he can't. The hilchasa, according to Ravashi, he can't. The hilchasa, the halacha is, shliach shavye. I made him a representative. He's my representative, he's my emissary, but the only way he could become my representative was if he had standing to get involved. So to have standing to get involved, I said that he's going to own it. But that's not really true. Because then the next line I said that I'm going to pay for all of his expenses. So what would I do that for? Give away the object and pay for all the expenses? Doesn't make any sense. So no, what I really meant was he owns it in order that when the other guy says, I don't want to deal with you, he says, you have to deal with me because I'm the owner. But then after he dealt with him, since I was covering the expenses, he has to turn around and give it back to me. That's the way Harsha works.
Temporarily ownership.
Yeah.
Like that. understand it's not there, you cannot magnish.
Put the lawyers out of
business. But if this guy afraid to go to the guy that stole my after, he's a mafia guy.
My lawyer,
and I come and say, I'm paying 25 cents on a dollar. I'm buying it. Can he sell it to me and I can start to deal with other guy? And all the benefit, if I get 100%, it's mine.
Well, it all depends, right? Is there yish? Was there despair? You say a mafia guy, people give up frequently with a mafia guy. Then if a mafia guy sells it, then it there's no ownership. You're saying that the original owner sold the claim to somebody else?
For 50 cents, like with that, we sell maybe the mortgage to somebody in that promise.
It's not in his control. He can't sell it.
It's
not in his control. He can't sell it. The mafia guy has it. He can't sell it. He can't sell it. All right. So the Gemara, the next Mishnah will tell us some more chidushim, some more novel insights about the payment of four or five. Ganav al pishnayim, if a person stole and there were two witnesses who saw him steal, but tavachu machar al pihem, and they're the ones who testify that not only did he steal, they saw him slaughter, or they saw him sell the sheep or the cow. Oh, pishnayim achem, where if two other witnesses come and say that they saw him slaughter the sheep or the cow, the sham tashlumi abrav v'chamish has to pay four or five. Ganavu machar b'shabbos. Let's say a person stole, but then he sold on Shabbos. So normally we have a rule called kimle b'drabine, that if a person's act of financial liability entailed also a death penalty, so then he has no financial liability. But here, he sold on Shabbos. Selling on Shabbos is not a malacha. It's an issur d'rabbanan. It's a rabbinic prohibition because it might lead to writing. But it's not a malacha. It doesn't create a death penalty. So therefore, he would be obligated to pay four or five. Ganavu machal avodah zarah. What happens if he stole and then he sold it to a church, to avodah zarah? He stole it, and he slaughtered it on Yom Kippur. He stole his father's ox, and he slaughtered, or he sold, and then his father died, so he actually inherits. If he stole and he slaughtered, and after he slaughtered, he made it all kadosh. In all of these cases, Meshalim, Tashlumi, Arba, V'chamisha, the thief has to pay four or five. Ganav, if the thief stole it, burglarized the ox, V'tavach l'refua, and he slaughtered the ox for a medical reason. O l'klavim, or he slaughtered it for the dogs. Or Ashochet, he slaughtered the ox, it turns out it wasn't a kosher shechita, nimtz is treifa, it turns out that the animal is a treifa, you can't eat it. Or he took the animal and he went into the Beis HaMikdash. So now also you can't eat it because he slaughtered it in the Beis HaMikdash. Ashochet kulin ba'azara. He slaughtered non-holy items in the Beis HaMikdash and therefore they become prohibited. In all of these cases, it doesn't matter. Still, Mishalim Tashlum Abar V'chamisha. He still has to pay four or five. Rabbi Shimon Potter B'shnei Elu. Rabbi Shimon says that a shechita, slaughtering, is only a slaughtering if it's a slaughtering that permits the animal to be eaten. So if the slaughtering turned out on an animal that was a treifa, or the slaughtering was done on a secular animal in the Beis HaMikdash, which is then therefore prohibited, it would not have to pay four or five.
In the case of the inheritor, he's paying four or five times to whom?
Himself.
Brothers? I mean, to
who? Oh, I guess to the brothers, yeah.
But in case of the watchman, that a lawyer or somebody must be hired to go negotiate, who pays for the expense of the lawyer?
The guy who hired him.
So the watchman is not responsible for,
No, that's indirect. Says the Gemara, Lema masnisim delo kribi akiva. This Mishnah, again, dealing with laws of evidence, this Mishnah seems to be against Rabbi Akiva, because the Mishnah said, if two witnesses said Yaakov stole, and two other witnesses said Yaakov slaughtered, Yaakov will have to pay four or five. That's against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva said in regards to evidence, the Torah says, "Apishnayim edim yakum davar." Based on two witnesses, a matter will be established. Hamar he said, "Davar." Witnesses have to speak about a whole matter. The lo chatzi davar. We would not accept witnesses if they only told us half of the story. So here you have two witnesses telling us the slaughter that's only half of the story. Because witnesses who tell us about a slaughter that's meaningless. Why do you have to pay for slaughtering? They're only meaningful with the other two witnesses who told us that it was stolen. So they themselves are only half the story. So according to Rabbi Akiva, he wouldn't accept them. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa, Amr Rabbi Yossi said, Kishalach Abba Chalafti to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Lilma Torah. When Abba Chalafti went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to learn Torah. I mean, the others say it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri who went to Abba Chalafti to learn Torah. Amar lo, we said to him, in Masechet Baba Basra, we're going to learn that there's something called Cheskas Habatim, a presumption of ownership over a house or a field, which means the following. Normally, if I sell a field, so the buyer should have a contract where I said I sold the field to him. What happens if he doesn't have a contract? So I claim it's my field. He says it's his field. He claims he bought it, but there's no contract. If he can bring witnesses that he's been on this field for 3 years, and for 3 years I haven't protested, so that is a chazaka, that's a presumption that it's his field. Because after 3 years, people no longer hold on to contracts. Sort of.
Squatters, right?
I guess evidence, really, right? It's a squatter who's been there for 3 years without anybody protesting, clearly is an owner. Because if he wasn't the owner, people wouldn't let it happen for so long to not say anything. So what happens? Two witnesses come and say, we saw him there in 2003. Two different witnesses say, we saw him there in 2004. And two other witnesses come and say, we saw him there in 2005. So, Mal, what's the halacha? Is that considered a chazaka? Amar lo, Abba Chalafta, or Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, or is a chazaka? Yeah, that's a chazaka. He can now stay there, even though he doesn't have the contract anymore. Amar lo, so the other one said, Afani Omer Kin. I also thought that way. El Rabbi Akiva Cholik Badavar, but I know that Rabbi Akiva disagrees. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva used to say, Davar velo chatzi davar. Testimony is only accepted if it's about the whole matter, not if it's about half of the story. So according to, that would be against our Mishnah too. Because in our Mishnah, the testimony seems to be only about half of the story. The witnesses come and say that they saw slaughter. But slaughtering itself is meaningless, unless you also know that it was stolen. So that means they only told us half of the story. Rabbi Abaye said no. Afilu tem Rabbi Akiva. Even Rabbi Akiva would agree to the law of our Mishnah. Because Milo Moder Rabbi Akiva, wouldn't Rabbi Akiva admit? Bishnaim Omrim Kiddush. Let's say two witnesses come and say they saw Yaakov marry Rachel. They saw Yaakov give Rachel a ring and say, Arayim Mekudesh Asli. Okay. And then Bishnaim Omrim, two other witnesses come and say that, well, they saw Reuven have intercourse with Rachel. So once the first witnesses tell us Rachel's a married woman, so the other two witnesses are saying a full story, that someone who's not her husband had relations with a married woman. So that's a full story. So too, even though we wouldn't have really cared that Reuven has relations with Rachel unless we know that Rachel's a married woman. The witnesses about the marriage don't need the later witnesses. Because their testimony gave us a whole story. Their testimony is that she's a married woman. That has a lot of ramifications. That's a whole halacha. She's a married woman. Nobody can get involved with her. She's married already. That's a big deal. So they don't need the later witnesses. So therefore, they were a complete story. Then the later witnesses are also a complete story. Because they're dealing with the fact that she's a married woman. So davar karina be, that's considered a full matter. Hachanami, the same is true in regards to witnesses about theft and then two other witnesses about slaughter. You're right. The witnesses about slaughter, really, we wouldn't pay attention to them if we didn't know that it was already stolen. But the witnesses about the theft, they tell us a full story. If two witnesses come and say, this guy stole an ox, that has a lot of ramifications. The guy's got to pay kefel, the guy's not a kosher witness anymore. A lot of things that happen now because he stole. It's a whole story. So they told us a fact. There's a whole story. So now the later witnesses are also telling us a whole story because they're saying this stolen object was slaughtered. The fact that it's a stolen object is now a point of fact. It doesn't a testimony. It's a point of fact. So Davar Karina Bey, that's already considered a complete story and therefore we would accept it. Rabbanan, now the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Akiva, so they hold in the case of Cheskas Habatim, that two witnesses about year one, two different witnesses about year two, two different witnesses about year three would be accepted. So then what do they say is the definition of a case of Chatzi Davar, of testimony that's only half, that's not accepted? Even Rabbi Akiva agrees the testimony about marriage, and another testimony about intercourse is not half of a testimony. And he agrees that testimony about theft and another testimony about slaughter is not half of a matter. So when do the Rabbanan ever say that it's half of a matter and it's not accepted? What is it excluding? So it's excluding the following. We know that a person only can be punished, and legally only has status to get punished if he's an adult. So an adult for a man means having two pubic hairs. And for a woman also, it's that she's 12 and she has two hairs in that place. So what's excluded? Lemuti, to exclude the following. Echad omer begaba. One witness says she has a hair in the back. Echad omer bekreisa. The other witness says she has a hair in the stomach, where it's supposed to be. So in other words, one witness says it's where it's supposed to be, and the other witness says it's not where it's supposed to be. So the Gemara says, one second. Hai chatzi davar v'chatzi edusu. That's more than just half of the matter. That's half of a group of witnesses. You only have one witness on one hair and one witness on another hair. Now, one hair alone is meaningless. Even a five-year-old has a single hair. It's nothing. No one's saying that she's married at all. That's not that she's an adult. That's nothing. Ela salimut, it's to exclude the following. Shnayim omer echad begaba. Two witnesses say they saw one hair of hers, you know, on the back, namely, you know, between her legs. Ushnayim omrim echa bekresa. And one witness says they saw, two witnesses say they saw the other hair in the right spot, but they didn't see the other hair, but they saw hair on her stomach or the bottom of her stomach in the right spot in the pubic area. So basically, Hani Amrik Tanahi, the two witnesses who say they saw one hair between her legs, are saying we saw a sight of a minor, one hair. The Hani Amrik Tanahi, the other two are also saying we saw a minor. Now, a minor for a different reason, but a minor. So that doesn't combine to be testimony to make her an adult. But two witnesses who say they saw theft, and two other witnesses who say they saw slaughtering, that's a full story each one. Two witnesses, according to the Chacham, who say they saw one year, they're saying that this year we saw this person hold on to it. The next person also says we saw them hold on to it for another year. So that is considered a complete davar according to them. Only according to Rabbi Akiva is it not a complete davar.
How could be a deal, which is a man, to look in
doctors and nurses. Okay. And the Mishnah said, Ganav umachar b'Shabbos. If a person stole, and then he sold it on Shabbos, he still would have to pay 4 or 5, because selling on Shabbos doesn't invoke the death penalty. So Gemara says, that's what the Mishnah says. Well, Tanya, we have a Braisa that said the opposite. The Braisa said somebody who stole but then sold on Shabbos, his potter is exempt from 4 or 5, because he's going to be put to death. I'm Rami Bar Chamas. One second. So are you put to death for selling something? Rami Bar Chama answered, Kitanya hit the potter. That case is the very interesting case. It's Ba'omer Lo, where the buyer of the stolen object said, Akots, you thief, cut off te'ena mite'enasi, a fig from my fig tree. V'tikni ligne vasich, and by you, the thief, cutting off the fig, at the moment that the fig gets detached, the stolen object that you're trying to sell will become mine. So on Shabbos, he went and he cut off the fig. And the act of cutting off the fig was both Chilul Shabbos, and at the same time, it was causing the stolen object to become mine, me, the owner of the fig tree. So it was transferring the ownership of the object over to me. So the sale was simultaneous with Chilul Shabbos. So since he's going to be put to death for Chilul Shabbos, he doesn't need to get 4 or 5 times for the sale. I mean, they said in the yeshiva, really? The kiven the chitav alei kaman bedina, lo armin alei zil shlip. In such a case where the thief, who the seller cuts his compensation, the fig, off of the tree on Shabbos, that's not even a sale. Why? Because if I, the owner of the fig tree, would tell him, okay, now give me up, give me the goat that I bought, he wouldn't have to deliver it to Machai ben Afshahu. Because he could say, I don't even have to give you the goat. I've lost my life by this whole deal. By cutting off your fig from your fig tree, I'm going to be put to death. I don't need to give you the goat. The way a sale works is that I give money to the seller then owes me something, and then because he owes me, the object that he wants to sell gets transferred as the fulfillment of the debt. But here there's no debt, because here the seller, the thief, was cutting something on Shabbos, so his life is being risked. he now deserves to die. So since he deserves to die for violating Shabbos, he doesn't owe me the stolen object. He doesn't have to deliver the goods. So Bechira Nami La Mechiri, it's not even a sale. Ella Amar Rav Papa said like this. Bomer Lo, it is a sale. Because the Chilul Shabbos wasn't by the seller getting his money. It was by the seller delivering the goods that he was selling. Bomer Lo, I, the buyer, said to the seller, Zrok Nevasech Lechatzeri, throw the goat that you stole, throw the sheep that you stole into my courtyard from a public domain. So the moment he throws it from the public domain into my courtyard, once it gets into my courtyard, that's the Chilul Shabbos. At the moment of the Chilul Shabbos, that's when I'm getting the goat that I'm buying. So therefore, his act of selling it, of getting it further away from the original owner, which is the sin which gets him to have to pay four times, is simultaneous with him being Mechalel Shabbos, transferring a goat into a private domain. So then there's no payment. So I told him, throw your goat into my courtyard, and that way I'll get the goat. So Gemara says, come on, now to say that this is simultaneous with the sale is with the Chil Shabbos, has to be like Rabbi Akiva, Damar Klutuk Mishon Chadamya. That once an object is in the domain, a private domain, it's as if it's placed on the floor. Because according to the Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, once the goat entered my courtyard, I own the goat. But Linyan Shabbos, Lamachayev, Atamatala Arya. He's not guilty for Chil Shabbos till it gets to the ground of my field, of my courtyard. So he says, no, can you give me according to the Rabbanan? Bomer, if he said, Lo tikni liknei vasech, I'm not going to acquire your goat, achetanuach, until it comes to the floor of my courtyard.